Studio 360.
In a beautiful house with a beautiful wife.
That's President Donald Trump covering the Talking Heads song Once in a Lifetime. Okay, not covering it, because that's actually a great mashup created on YouTube by someone called Swede Mason, who used footage from the 1980 Talking Heads music video and superimposed Trump's head on David Byrne, who is dressed in a black suit and bow tie, gesticulating wildly in that David Byrne way.
You may ask yourself, what is that beautiful house? You may ask yourself, where does that highway go to? You may ask yourself, am I right? Am I wrong?
And you may ask yourself, how is this arty rock song from almost four decades ago still so familiar that this mashup has 3 million views on YouTube? And you may ask yourself, what went into the album it was on, Remain in Light? It's a record that even for rabid Talking Heads fans, as I was then and remain, came as kind of a revelation. To tell the story of that album, we begin with two members of the band.
My name is Chris France. I play drums with Talking Heads.
My name is Tina Weymouth, and in the Talking Heads, I primarily played bass guitar. We'd come off a tour. The last show we did was in Germany in 1979, and we were really burnt out.
Pretty exhausted, actually. We needed to replenish our batteries.
After a few short weeks of catching our breath, we thought, well, it's time to start again. And we knew that David Byrne and Brian Eno were making a record
called My Life in the Bush of Ghosts. There was some kind of stress going on there, the stress between the two of them.
Brian left David in California to finish on his own. They were not speaking to each other. They wouldn't discuss it with us either.
We were having trouble getting David's attention.
David was having nightmares about having his head cut off and trying to glue it back on, and juices oozing and seeping from where it had been cut off and being disturbed that no one else seemed to notice. So I interpreted that as what was going on between the two of them.
We had a rehearsal loft in Long Island City where Tina and I happened to live. So Tina had a brilliant idea. She said, let's call up Eno and invite him over here to jam.
Oh, Brian, why don't you just come over to our place and jam with us, because we're jamming and we're having a great time doing it.
He said, but I don't play any instrument. We said, that's cool.
And so he came over.
As soon as David heard that Eno was in our loft jamming and writing songs.
David, why don't you come too? You know, it's really fun. We're having a good time. He said, oh, okay. And
he was over there in a flash
and made some really cool little improvisations that we recorded on our little boombox. This is a little portable cassette player recorder.
We did a few little experimental jam sessions, which were promising enough to us that we thought, oh, we can do this. We can go down to Nassau and just start from scratch in the studio.
At that time in 1980, this was very rarely done. It was done in experimental composition, but not in popular music. My name is Sietse Steenstra. I'm the author of Song and Circumstance, the work of David Byrne, from Talking Heads to the present. Talking Heads had always been interested in approaching rock music a little differently. They were interested in abstract painting and in conceptual art. Brian Eno and David Byrne found that they share an interest in cybernetics as applied to art. The idea of cybernetics, in which both Byrne and Eno were interested, was that the manager is actually part of the entire structure of what goes on, not outside of it. So the song should not be outside of the recording process.
As you know, I spend far too much of my life in recording studios and have therefore been given to reflect for some time on what they do to music and the recording studio as a compositional tool.
On Remain in Light, the production is very important because the album is put together out of many layers of tape, taking away old layers and adding new layers. Brian Eno contributed to that as much as the members of Talking Heads.
As David said very humorously in one interview, we recorded the music before we wrote it.
In the recording process, Talking Heads would begin with laying down a series of rhythm tracks.
We would, all four members of the band, be out in the studio. Brian Eno and the engineer would be in the control room. And we would roll the tape.
1, 2, 3, 4.
After we'd gotten to a point where we thought, this sounds cool, we would stop and we would listen back to what we had recorded. And then we would start again using the ideas that had been developed in the previous jam session.
Same as it ever was. Same as it ever was. Same as it ever was. Same as it ever was.
They made only small parts of songs on different tapes, putting them together, taking away what was no longer fresh, and adding new fresh layers to come up with an interesting collage of sounds. Steady elements as well as syncopated elements, squeaks like a parrot, shouts of animals, sounds like an electronic pinball machine, putting songs together in the studio during the recording process, following conceptual and cybernetic ways of thinking.
I remember after we recorded all the basic tracks, David's feeling was that these were very special tracks, very different and unusual, and therefore would require more time on his part to put together a cohesive lyric and vocal. I believe what he did was rent a car and go driving around the country, listening to the radio.
He had a little pencil on one side and a clipboard on the other. He was driving through the countryside and he could pull over and just write things down as they came.
You may find yourself behind the wheel of a large automobile. And you may find yourself...
He picked up voices from American radio preachers.
As we try to take care of that splinter in the eye of our brother, all the time neglecting and forgetting about that tree that's growing in
us. You'll have periods of happiness. But God nowhere promises happiness is to be a goal in life.
He used newspaper headlines, quotes from books that he found inspiring, a recording of former slaves telling their stories.
I said, I never had no shoes till I was 13 years old.
He used phrases from a recording of John Dean's testimony for the Watergate trials.
The fact that I was involved in obstruction of justice, the fact that I assisted another in perjured testimony, the fact that I made personal use of funds that were in my custody.
Making those into collages of snippets of text and organize them into song-like patterns in a way that he found convincing enough so that he could actually sing them. David Byrne was never what you might see as a natural singer. To begin with, he had to force himself to sing. And the tension that creates is, of course, very interesting. And I think he saw something of the same tension in many preachers. So for the song Once in a Lifetime, he used that tension and the persona of the preacher to put together that song.
And you may find yourself living in a shotgun shack. And you may find yourself in another part of the world. And you may find yourself behind the wheel of a large automobile. And you may find yourself in a beautiful house with a beautiful wife. And you may ask yourself, well, how did I get here?
Both David Byrne and Brian Eno, as well as the other members of Talking Heads, were interested in a wide range of music.
We had been listening to African music since college days. We would go up to Cambridge, Massachusetts and buy African record albums in a little shop, like one of those multicultural shops. And that's where we discovered Fela Kuti.
Mm-hmm. one part of African music on which they focused is that it's polyrhythmic, it's layered rhythm that consists of very many small rhythmic elements that are relatively easy to play that add to each other.
After we had cut a few basic tracks, everybody in the room knew that this was going to be something extraordinary.
Talking Heads have a new album. It's called Remain in Light. Talking.
When Talking Heads put together a press package for the release of the album Remain in Light, David Byrne and Brian Eno included a small bibliography of books they had read, two on African music and African culture, and two on the process of developing architectural plans and plans for new cities. And they added it to the package because they thought it they might get more interesting questions from journalists. Frankly, my impression is that I may be the only one who has ever written about him who actually read all those four books.
It was too rock for black radio. It was too black for rock radio. It was too funky for pop radio. But somehow, people got it.
I think it was a moment of liberation. Because from that moment on, Talking Heads would go on to make films. David Byrne went on to make music for ballet and for theater, and he would make theater himself. There was this very open range of artistic possibilities, very, very wide open.
These are very powerful works of art.
This record was made almost 40 years ago, and by now, so many young people have incorporated it into their own sensibility of how to approach music. Not only is it brainy and sonically beautiful, but it's also really great to dance to.
That was Tina Weymouth of Talking Heads. You also heard her bandmate and husband, Chris France, and the author, Sietse Steenstra. That story about Remain in Light was produced by Jenny Cataldo and BMP Audio. Remain in Light was recently chosen by the Library of Congress to be part of the National Recording Registry, and the tape of Brian Eno was from a lecture he gave in 1979. David Byrne declined to be interviewed, too busy, but you can hear a couple of conversations I have had with David Byrne over the years at our website, studio360.org.